Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Paristaya Bhutale Simata Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatya Desataide Namaste Girirajaya Shri Gauravadana Namine Ashesha Klesha Nashaya Paramananda Dayine Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Garadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. All together, please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. I would like to affectionately welcome all of you for this second day of your Mana Shiksha seminar. I would like to especially greet a newcomer to this seminar, His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj, and I sincerely hope, in fact, I slightly anticipate that this 8th shloka, which we will discuss today, will give great happiness to your heart. I'm slightly anticipate. So welcome also to all of our internet audience and all the, I don't really know the English word, all those who listen to the recordings. Welcome in the lap of Giriraj. I would like to give you a very brief background which will help you to tune in to today's very instructive verse. This work, Mana Shiksha, was written by Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, and we can safely assume, because he always follows Rupa Goswami, that he wrote it after Rupa Goswami had completed his Upadeshamrita, his 12 or 11 verses of instructions. Raghunath Goswami often models and mirrors the exalted Rupa Goswami, of whom he considers himself a follower. And just like Rupa Goswami gave an 11-verse manual on how to practice bhakti, Raghunath Das Goswami also gave a manual with exactly the same number of verses, 11 verses. The 12th is an instruction how to use this manual, but the 11th verses are instructions. And you can just see Raghunath Das Goswami, who's known as Das Goswami, sitting at Radhakund, his divine form bathed in ecstatic tears of love of Godhead. You can see him in your mind's eye as he pays obeisances in a very humble mood and frame of mind to at least 1,000 Vaishnavas a day. Now, we have calculated this with modern technology. If you pay obeisances to 1,000 Vaishnavas a day, you will be engaged for 4 hours to 4.5 hours according to your speed. It's a major investment of time. And why he did this will become very clear in verse 8. But before I start pouring the nectar from Raghunath Das Goswami's tear-filled voice into your ears, I want to ask you a question. Are you qualified to hear this? Or I will make it even more precise. Did you reflect, like I said yesterday, about the first seven verses of Manashiksha? Let us have a short show of hands. Who reflected yesterday about the first seven verses of Manashiksha? This is about one-fifth of you. Four-fifths of you is still not activated, and I want to help you to activate yourself spiritually. See, if you ever wish to make spiritual advancement from reading texts, then you need to apply three techniques. This is from the Upanishads and from Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. The first is you need to hear the text like you have done yesterday. One third of your work is completed. Then comes manaha. You need to reflect about the text. That I request you to do, and I will reflect, I will help you during the session. I will have a reflection session for which helps you. And then third, you need to either meditate about the text or apply it. Then only will you impart the knowledge which you have not yet realized into your own mind, so to say, and your own activities. I think you all know that there is only little benefit from unreflected lectures. Many of us are accustomed to this, that we sit in a lecture and okay, hopefully there's some new raisin in the cake, some new information. And then when someone would ask us 10 minutes after the lecture is over, what was it about, Prabhu? We would at best say it was about Krishna somehow. Because we have not reflected upon the subject which we have heard, the subject has not entered us. It's like food which we don't chew. If you don't chew the food, you will not be able to digest it and be nourished from it. So the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad and Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur are very clear about it. If you hear a sacred text, you must do Shravan, but you must also do Manaha and Nididhyasana, either meditation or application. If you want to go even deeper, and I believe most of you are really very serious Vaishnavas, then you should pray that the realization of this text come into your heart. Very important. When Sanatana Goswami heard from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said to him, now I pray to you, please bless me by putting your lotus feet on my head so that everything which you have said will be realized by me. Pray to the author, pray to the text so that you have something with it. My dear devotees, I caught you unprepared. I knew that some of you are not used to this in the seminars which our Sharanagati gives nowadays always go through these three steps while we give the seminars, but we have a little time, so I will only tell them to you now again, and I encourage you strongly to listen today very intently what you will hear, then to reflect it and in some ways maybe share it with someone, talk about the text, something which strikes you, maybe during prasadam or in your free time, or and finally try to maybe if there's something for you, make a decision how you can apply the teachings of the text. And I guarantee you, you will fly high in the sky of spiritual realization, if that is not too poetic. But you will take something with you which will alter your life to the better. I guarantee you. If not, you can come. I will give you $100. Hare Krishna, now I'm in trouble. No, I feel very confident. I'm not in trouble. It will work. But please, not only listen in one ear and out another ear. Do Shravan, do Manaha, reflection. At that time, zack, something will happen in your mind. The information will come here. And because you reflect about it, it won't leave the other ear. It will go down into your heart, where all your spiritual realization take place. Apply Manaha, reflection. What worth is an unreflected life? Dobro. This verse today happens to be my favorite verse of the Mana Shiksha. And I really pray to you, my esteemed audience, who are full of much more qualified Vaishnavas, that somehow put some genuine, good, encouraging feeling in my direction, because it's a very, very, very deep verse. We will leave now the ordinary. We will go into really deep subjects now. Okay, let us start. Tadushtvam me darayati shatasyapi kripaya yathamayam primamritam apidadadyujvalam maso. Sri Raghunath Goswami, he writes this verse down on pergament paper, on leaves. He pauses, and then he continues. Yata Shri Gandhava Bhajana Vidaye Prayayati Mam Tata Goshte Kakva Giridaram Yatvam Vajamana. O my mind, with utter humility and words choked with emotion, Kakwa, my words come out stumbling out of my throat. I implore you, my mind, just worship Sri Giridhari Krishna here in Braj, in such a way that he will become pleased. My mind, know one thing. By Giridhari's causeless mercy, he will remove my wickedness from my heart. And although I am so dishonest, he will bestow upon me the nectar of the supremely radiant prema, the ujvala rasa. Yes, this Giridhari will forcefully grab me and bring me to the loving service of my Sri Gandharva Radhika and instruct me in this seva. Raghunath Das Goswami looks back And what he discussed in verses 4 to verses 7, the innumerable obstacles in his heart. He sees, my heart is full of lust and I'm bathing in duplicity, which is acidic, like the urine of a donkey. I have so much desire for pratishta in my heart, for to be recognized by others. I know I need now good association. I need the general of the devotees, a very pure bhakta, so that he can help throw out these things. And Raghunatha Swami says, all these things in the heart which put me into so much burden can be summarized under one word, dushtadvam, or wickedness. My heart is wicked. Why? Because I have broken the most important relationship. It's wicked. It's wicked. Now, I'm not so good in English as you. I had to look up what is wickedness exactly. And it said it's a völlige Verderbtheit, Verdorbenheit, Boshaftigkeit, Gemeinheit. Sometimes the German language carries force. To translate it for those who are not so fortunate to have been born in this unfortunate country. Wickedness means an evil tendency, a meanness. Mean means to be mean. It means, according to the acharyas, a pollution of the consciousness. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, "In the pure soul is inherently simply and honest. But when we come here into this world, we are covered with this evil mind, this wickedness. And in this way, we constantly distance ourselves from our original spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness. This is a wicked fault. So, he discusses two solutions against this wickedness. The first solution against wickedness, which he mentions in this verse, is utter humility. That is, feeling or acknowledging what's there in the heart and feeling like a wretched person. And feeling this so much that you are not able to talk any longer and smile any longer. You are choked. My dear devotees, this dānya or humility is our only chance if we want to enter this verse. You know, when you have a banana, I want to give an example why humility is important. If you have a banana fruit, it needs to have the protective peel around it. As soon as the banana, especially in India, but I've seen it even in America and everywhere else, has no protective peel, there are so many, you know, they call them in Germany fruit flies, and they eat it. and they put bacteria into the banana, especially in Germany. Flies come, not Germany, yes, many germs. This is the word for Germany, but there's a connection between Germany and India because of the germs. You know, and you got this is how you get typhoid. The good fruit becomes polluted without appeal. So if a devotee is not having the protective peel of humility around him, but if he is a pretender and wants to show off as a very advanced soul dressed in avant-gardistic dhotis, then the moment this peel goes, you will see that your devotion, so-called devotion, becomes corrupted. Flies will land on it and give you a problem. You will see this. The moment someone is not humble, he loses his protection in spiritual life. And whatever he has gained, you know, the good fruit, is in danger of being altered, alloyed, and finally changed. This is experience. So, Raghunath Goswami, after having gone through this exercise of facing his obstacles, is now at the state where he comes with a realistic, frank, and open, and honest heart, and says, "I need help." Do you remember from yesterday what help Raghunath Goswami? This is the second solution. Pleads for to get out that wickedness of the heart. Do you remember? I think you do remember. Just find the switch. I've even said it to help you. Omala knows everything, always. Let us go to those. Sergei, what is your help? What is your chance? Mahojwala. The association of a very powerful devotee and service to him. Thank you for enlivening us with this instruction. Now, Raghunath Goswami immediately asked this question: where will I find this association? My dear devotees, my older god brothers, who are more advanced than me, have revealed to me, many, that they are constantly asking this question: where can I find such exalted association? I know that His Holiness Gaur Govinda Maharaj, in a personal discussion, revealed to me, he said, "Maharaj, I'm looking, I need this association. I can't get rid of this by my own help. I need this saintly association." So Raghunath Das Goswami asks now the question: what if we feel we cannot have this association of a very exalted devotees? He calls them in the previous verse, Prabhu Daita Samantam Atulam, a pure servant of the Lord, he has no equal, and he is one of the generals of the Lord. What if we can't find this association? Where do we go? And it's very interesting what he gives as an answer. I will give Raghunath Das Goswami's answer, and I will then give, contrast it with the modern ISKCON answer to the question, and you can engage your mind in this contrast. Let's go to Raghunath Das Goswami, because we study the text. He says, Just worship my mind. Sri Girit Hari Krishna here in Braj in such a way that he will become pleased. Go to Giriraj. Turn to Giriraj. Come to him. That is the solution which he offers. Go to the greatest of all devotees, Giriraj Giridhari, who is Krishna himself. There's even a smile on the piece of paper. My dear devotees, we have heard this. Giriraj is Krishna, but he's also the greatest devotee. Our Giriraj Maharaj, the knower of Giriraj, has told us that the gopis felt that they wanted to meet Krishna, and they felt everything great can only be achieved by turning to a great devotee. That's why they went to Haridev, Haridev means presiding deity of Giriraj, no? And then saw Giriraj. My dear devotees, this Giriraj whom you see here is mysterious and magical. If you have a genuine desire in your heart for something Krishna conscious, Giriraj will fulfill it. That's why you find the devotees circumambulating the hill. You will find even one old man here. He's now approaching Jatipur. He is dressed only in a white lungi. This old man is doing for 21 years Giriraj Parikrama. He gets Dandavat Parikrama. He gets up, falls down 108 times, puts stones before him so that he counts, and then after he has done it, he continues. This is already going on for 21 years in his life. And if you asked him, why are you doing it? He points to Giriraj and says, he will fulfill my desire. What is your desire? And then you see his face contorting and he cries, but he will not tell you. It's between him and Giriraj. You know, he's a good devotee. It will be something in connection with Radha and Krishna. It is said that if someone circumambulates Giriraj, my dear devotees, Giriraj will go with him and listen to what is in his mind. I have personal experience. When I did my Dandavat Giriraj Parikram, I dared to utter an impossible desire, impossible for me to attain. And I was tested many times, but I kept on the focus. No, I want this. No, I really want this. I will also not tell you because I'm very shy and very insignificant. It wouldn't interest you. What is? And 1 week later, 2 weeks, no, one, maybe 1 to 2 weeks. I'm so bad with numbers. I can't remember. This impossible desire has been fulfilled. No. No need to. Just you must experience this yourself. Otherwise, you won't believe me. He is Giriraj, the king. He is a devotee of Krishna, who serves Krishna with everything he has, even his own body. Ram and Krishna are walking over him and feel ecstasy. He will fulfill your genuine desire. This is why Raghunath Das Goswami goes to Giriraj, but he is very, very much in a humble state of mind. Before I tell you about Giriraj more, I want to just prepare you in this humble state of mind. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in his commentary, I have it here, Bhajana Dadapana, he says to the devotees, become intelligent and understand you are more lonely than the straw in the street. Give respect to all others as appropriate and take shelter of the name of Hari. In this way you will receive the mercy of Krishna and along it with it the mercy of the saintly persons. Now, I guess you have heard this verse already, and I would like to now reveal to you one of my qualities is I'm boundlessly inquisitive. So I looked in ancient libraries and found an ancient manual which is given to renunciants who stay in Braj as a mode of conduct. When I was young, I was going to the dancing school when I was 8, because in the dancing school in Germany, every high-class boy has to go there, you learn good manners. And because I was so absolutely wild, my parents put me into the dancing school before 16. I was only half the age because they knew this boy will be spoiled if he doesn't, if he waits too long. And I remember you had to learn how to greet someone, how to nod your head, how to eat, how to not belch when you were ready, and all these things you had to learn. It's called the Knicke in German aristocracy, the Knicke. That means a mode of conduct. So here is a mode of conduct which helps the renunciants to free themselves from wickedness. Wickedness that is the opposite of dainya. Only someone who forgets that he is very fallen will be wicked. And the epitome of wickedness, that means how wickedness, this meanness, finds its highest peak is in one behavior which you must absolutely give up if you want to advance. Fault finding. Of all the bad things you can do, of all the forms of prajalpa you can engage in, finding faults with anyone is the worst. So these devotees who stay in Braj, they learn how to avoid fault-finding with others, or Vaishnav Ninda, and they get 7 rules in their hands. First of all, be always absorbed in your bhajan and sadhana. Second rule, speak only about the Lord. Third rule, speak what is necessary and beneficial. And third rule, you might now smile because it's in American slang so cute. Huh? Walk on the road with your head lowered, your palms joined, and show respect to everyone. Know that everyone is superior to you. This is like the atom bomb against your fault-finding mentality. And when someone comes to you and criticizes another, you should say, oh, I just remembered some urgent work, and quickly leave the place where Vaishnav Ninda is done. Because if you engage in this wickedness, or you even come close to this fault-finding mentality, something happens. You know, this Vaishnava offense against Vaishnava does something to your bhakti kripa, or your bhakti lata. You know, to disrespect the scriptures or to, you know, do other things, breaks leaves and branches of the bhakti lata. But if you are engaged in fault finding, the whole plant is destroyed. The other things are relatively correctable, but fault finding or Vaishnav Ninda erases everything. So you must give up wickedness. Or in Raghunath Das Goswami's words is, O mind, with utter humility and words choked with emotion, go to Giridhari Krishna. He will remove your wickedness, although there's so much dishonesty still. Yes, monkeys. So go to the best of the devotees. Raghunath Das Goswami must have something in mind while he says, turn directly to Giriraj now. Go to Giridhari. He must have in mind how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him once a Giriraj Shila. Gauranga Mahaprabhu had said at that time, E Shila Krishnera Vigraha. This Shila is directly the form of Krishna. And then he received instructions how to worship this Shila. Raghunatha Swami reflected about this event. He said, by offering me the Govardhan Shila, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has offered me a place near Govardhan Hill. And by offering me the garland of conchels, he has offered me shelter at the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. Chaitanya Charitamrita, we hear how exactly Raghunath Das Goswami worshipped Giriraj. And we hear what was the result of this worship. Thus Raghunath Das began worshipping the Shila from Govardhan. And as he worshipped, he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, directly in the Shila. Thinking of how he had received the Govardhan Shila directly from the hands of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Raghunath Das was always overflooded with ecstatic love. Later, Raghunath Das Goswami composed his famous verses where he pleads for shelter. And towards the end of his composition, he says, Giriraj, if you think I'm really too unqualified that you hear my prayer, I can't believe that you think like this, but you should know I'm here not on my own strengths. I'm not approaching you out of my own whims. Gauranga Mahaprabhu, or he says, Shachinandana, he has given me this place. He has recommended me here. So my dear devotees, you all have a free access road to Giriraj, and you can pray to him that he will remove your wickedness from your heart. And when Giriraj does so, he will do something very special with you, which is so wonderful that our hairs will bristle and goosebumps will roll over our Western skins. Raghunath Goswami says, by taking shelter at Giridhari's lotus feet, Giriraj, huh? He will do something. He will grab you by the neck. He will forcefully bring you to the loving service of Srimati Radharani. I will now take you into a very important philosophical conclusion, and you will need to listen very attentively, because this is now the higher stuff, you know, which we don't hear every day. My dear devotees, if you want to experience Krishna with all his qualities, you can only do so if you experience or if you worship him through Srimati Radharani. Because only Srimati Radharani draws all the qualities from Krishna, all the rasa from Krishna, the ujvala rasa, the splendid rasa, the glowing rasa. Yesterday we have heard an analogy. Krishna is like a flower. But if you wish to have the honey which is inside him, the rasa, you can't get it by approaching him directly. Just like the honey from a flower comes only through the bee, huh? The bee will manifest the unmanifest honey. Krishna's divine qualities, his is the highest bhakti rasa, will only be manifested in the camp of Radha. Raghunath Das Goswami has said this. How foolish are those people who think they can enter into the secret of the nectar rasa of Shyam without ever having worshipped the dust that sprinkles from Srimati Radharani's lotus feet. How foolish if you think you can experience Krishna without going, without Radha. Just like you can't see the moon without the moon rays, you will never experience Krishna in his fullness without Radha. Braj Krishna can only be experienced if you enter the camp of Radha and become a servant there. Because Krishna only manifests his Krishna-ness, his full Krishna-ness, in the association of Srimati Radhika. Sometimes devotees get bewildered, or let me say, I got bewildered when I say, okay, so I have heard all these years I should worship Krishna. This is called Krishna consciousness, Krishna bhakti, Krishna this and Krishna this. Now I'm hearing I should become a servant of Radha. I'm clearly bewildered. What is when I worship? I only have one heart to give. No, if I worship Radha, what's with Krishna? Is all of a sudden I become an atheist towards Krishna? Listen, Prabodhananda Saraswati dealing with this subject. He says, "In my heart, I will contemplate my highest aspiration to one day become a maidservant of Sri Radha's lotus feet. And then I will always meditate on Krishna who wears a peacock feather in his crown. I chant Krishna's holy name. I always serve his lotus feet. And I chant the best of all his mantras." It means the Gopal mantra. "And then when, oh when, will I relish the most amazing festival of attachment to Radha?" You will only get Krishna through Radha. Krishna does not wait to show his qualities. Only in the association of Radha, it all comes out. All is the Syam Ras. His love becomes fully manifested. So therefore, there is a progression in this verse. First, enter the room of humility. Then, turn to Giriraj. And then Giriraj turns you over to where? Radharani. These are exalted subject matters. If you, in your spiritual life, have never thought about these things, just hear them patiently. If you are an older devotee, just take note of it and write it with golden colors on your heart. Srila Prabhupada's father would go to every sadhu and say to the sadhu, please bless my son that he becomes a pure servant of Radha. In Radha's camp, we will find our fortune. We will find the honey of what is Krishna consciousness. She is that supermost bee-like, exalted devotee of Krishna who draws all of Krishna's love, all of Krishna's honey. And that will all of a sudden flood your heart when you become a servant of Radha. Now there is a step-by-step process how you can become a servant of Radha. Would you like to know it? Oh, best of the tired devotees. I will say it. And this is given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. First of all, I want to talk about something else. See, this is so sublime that it is the well-kept secret of our Gaudiya Sampradaya. Why? Because this Madhurya Rasa, it means that loving relationship to Krishna in the conjugal mood has to be kept confidential, because one could make so many mistakes. Therefore, often a detailed discussion of Madhurya Ras is just kept behind 80,000 granite walls and iron closets with difficult to decipher codexes. An extended discussion in the required depths is mostly unsuitable for devotees of the other four rasas. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says, Madhurya Rasa is kept a secret because most of the devotees who think they have taken shelter of Madhurya Rasa just don't know what they are speaking about. They got it all wrong. Because they're yet incapable of tasting it. The third reason is that Madhurya Rasa, why this is such a secret, deals principally with Ragmarg and discusses very confidential moods. Now, because most of the sadhakas' hearts are still bound by many material desires, and their spiritual life should not be endangered, they should remain fixed in Vaidimag. So then how are we to approach this rare subject? Krishnadas Kaviraj gives us a road to this. I think it's a very good road, a very practical road, and a very danger-free road. He says, those who by great fortune have a vacant sacred greed, it means loba, to obtain this relationship to Krishna, must follow the example of the gopis and pray, as Raghunath Goswami describes here, with intense longing and anguish in a voice choked with emotion. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says, this should be kept high over us, our head. We should think, I'm not yet qualified, but I want love. My life is so boring and everything is already chewed. And I want to be overwhelmed. I want that the desert is flooded, finally. And such a devotee, at the moment where this desire, this greed moves his heart, then he will carefully approach these subjects. I personally, in my own spiritual life, have found out that the best way to enter into the secret of Krishna consciousness is to approach Radha and Krishna like all Gaudiyas do, through Gauranga Mahaprabhu, who's the combined form of Radha and Krishna. By good Gauranga Mahaprabhu sadhana, chanting in ecstasy, dancing, following Trinadapi, all of a sudden you will change and you will feel, I want to know. I'm qualified, but I want to know, what can I do? And so on. Then it comes. I won't actually give you the step-by-step process here. I will give it to you in the Amrita training newsletter, because I feel you are not yet eager enough to have this, and I will withhold it to make you more eager. This is one of the techniques of teachers. They want to poke their audience. But I will just give you the last step. You must forget that you are a man if you want to enter this. Or if you are... Now, women, I will now address the Matajis. I won't look into your direction because you might blush as I address you now. You must forget that you are a man also. What is this manness which we have to forget? It's the idea to be the enjoyer. It's called the Purusha Bhava. Purusha Bhava. Only if you forget that you are an enjoyer, that things are meant for you, do you have an entry ticket into this nectar, this glistening nectar. The service which the gopis do has no relationship with mundane male bodies and mundane female bodies. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if you can't forget that you are an enjoyer, then engaging in Madhurya Rasa Bhajan will ruin all your bhajan and you will become spiritually depraved totally. I want to encourage you. If you are pure, there is only one natural position for you, and that is the female position. I'm speaking now of it in philosophical terms, not in bodily terms. It means, enjoy me. I'm meant for your pleasure. Please, I'm here for you. I'm not here for me. This is the mentality which is called the Stri Bhava, the spiritual Stri Bhava, which is required. And then you can enter into this best of all rasas. But, my dear devotees, we need to start hearing about this. We need to instruct our minds about this, because if that is done, some extraordinary mercy can be given by Giridhari and by Giriraj. Here are many, many devotees in Vrindavan, Prabhupada writes in the third canto, who are here wandering in Vrindavan only with one desire: where are you? Where are you? Where are you? And I believe all of you have already gotten this type of mercy coming through. I remember there is one of my god brothers, he is sitting here, so I can't tell his name. Otherwise he would criticize me. Once his mother, Jewish mother means very much a mother, not a theoretical German mother, but a practical Jewish mother, came to get him out of the Hare Krishna movement in Vrindavan. And she stayed in the shelter of the dust of Vrindavan. And she woke up, she was previously of a kidnapping disposition, but then she woke up and she told her son, "I hate to admit it, son, but I was waking up and I was singing this Hare Krishna." My dear devotees, my summary here of the verse is, be humble, be realistic of what you are. Therefore, I approach the subject so carefully. But don't forget what you can become. Yearn, long with utter humility for what you can become. That is, if you worship Giridhari properly, he will take pity on you and turn you into the camp where the highest love can be in Srimati Radharani's camp. And while being here in Vrindavan, these things are already starting to be implanted into your heart. Some sweet longing might come. It starts all with Vipralamba, feeling deep longing. Hare Krishna. I had to talk so long about it, but I have something else in mind. Let us just chant for a few minutes. Let us sing now. And while you sing, I request you to turn to Giriraj. You have heard now that he can give you the highest, that is, service to Srimati Radhika. If you in your mind and heart find such a desire or another desire related to Krishna consciousness, please chant in a mood of kakva. Kakva means a voice full of, bring your heart to your voice, and then maybe Giriraj hears us. And maybe he gives us the first steps. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna Hare.
Please bring your heart to your song.
Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
sing now.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Please turn around. My dear devotees, I don't have the time now to do what I wish to do, and I sincerely regret it, but it's so important for me to, as a seminar giver, to try to make a point that is practical, that I would just like you. I will say now something, and then I will ask you a question, which I will ask you to discuss with your neighbor. But I really want to say now something which is deeply alive in my heart. It's a question. If after all these 40 plus years of practicing Krishna consciousness, you would ask me what really works for you to transform your own heart and bring you to another level of consciousness, I would have to say that, in my own words, I have seen that I am on different energy levels. And I don't mean now physical levels. I mean consciousness levels. Sometimes very low, embarrassing low. Sometimes better. And sometimes amazingly full with very high aspirations. Amazing and surprising. And I have investigated deeply when or what helps really the consciousness to rise to another level. What really, not just dry philosophy now, please, but something which works. And there is one principle in spiritual life which appears in many, many, many different moderations which works. It's the principle of sangha or association. By association with, and let me call it now in the driest philosophical terms, with something else than you. Let us call it an object of association. It can be a person, it can be food, it can be literature, it can be anything. By association with that, you will feel how the strength of the object begins to influence you. Let us say food. If you have a very sweet food, the sweetness of the food will do something with your taste buds, and it will form your body. You will become all energetic. You know, that happens when you eat sweets. You are buzzing, you know. Every object you associate with, also persons, leave their shakti in your heart. And if you have association, like now we associate with Giriraj, with Krishna Katha, with the ideal environment, with high subjects, that will leave its impression on your consciousness, and you have a chance to change. I'm so sure about it, especially when Giriraj Maharaj gave a lecture in Philadelphia at the Elkinson Estate. I still remember this. And he gave one lecture where he dealt with the subject of how can we change desire. Do you sometimes wish you would desire something better, Lila Purushottam? Are you with me? Desires, there are these desires, and you know, if I just wouldn't have this desire, my life would be so uncomplicated. But this desire is so strong that I will most properly do it. I will fill it, because otherwise it knocks on my head day and day out. For instance, maybe you have after this retreat, Prasadam, the desire, I want a pizza. I know it's bad for my digestion. I know I developed so much gas that I can fly to the moon if I eat this pizza. But if it's persistently in the heart, I can guarantee you when you are in the MTV building, MVT building, you will go to that restaurant and you will order two pizzas and olive oil. And you don't care if it's good for you or not. When the desire is strong enough, you will succumb to it. There are a lot of examples in our movement. My dear devotees, so how can you change desires? This is the question. And listen to what Giriraj Maharaj said. I was so surprised when he said it that I said, really? Can you show me the exact quote, please? Because I'm a little bit, I really want to know this, what works. And then Giriraj Maharaj supplied in the computer the quote. And it's so important for you, and so important to your observance of Mana Shiksha. Because you need to associate with high things, then you also become higher in your consciousness. So here is the quotation for you. In Bhagavad Gita 2:62, it is stated, "Sangat sanjayate kama." Those who know the verse is, they know Krishna uses it this in one way, and Prabhupada takes the principle and uses it in another way. Here is the quotation: "One's desires and ambitions, you know, the deepest things inside, develop according to the company one keeps." Your desires and ambition develop according to the company. It is often said that a man is known by his company. And if an ordinary man associates with devotees, he will certainly develop his dormant Krishna consciousness. If you don't believe me that it's there, Nectar of Instructions, Purport to Text 4. There you will find it. Yes, my dear devotees, you can change. Raghunath Das Goswami gives here the example. He says, I'm dishonest. I'm full of wickedness. But also, I can change if I have association with Giridhari. And then Giridhari will do something with me and finally throw me into the camp of love, Shrimati Radharani. This will work. Associate not with the computer and its various context. I call the computer the mind of modern man without a conscience, because everything is in there, irresponsibly placed by non-thinking human beings. You will find everything in the computer. The modern mind of modernity confronts you and jumps on your screen. Upon even if you don't want it, and so on. You must learn now, and you will associate, and then you will become influenced. In this mana shiksha, we learn to have association with the proper things, and it will turn us upside down and then high up. Yes. So this is my humble request as you have listened to this verse. Think about this principle of association. And I want to now request you to turn to your neighbor. It will be a blitz activity. Blitz means fast. Please first find your neighbor. And please don't think this is a wishy-washy New Age exercise. You will profit a lot from this. So please find your neighbor. You can also be a trio. And then I will give you the task. Who has not yet found a neighbor, please raise your hand. That was easy. Here comes the question for you. Slušajte, please listen. Recall an event in your life where this principle of Sangha, devotee association, associating with literature, associating with anything which has spiritual, has significantly lifted you in your consciousness. Recall something and share it. This is the task ahead. Is my question clear? We want something practical, not theory now. It's not time for high philosophy. We know you know, have heard millions of lectures. What we want to know if you have made an experience and share it and hear from others so that you will become confident that by mana shiksha, by getting these exalted instructions in your mind, you can also be uplifted. Start now. You have only 4 minutes for this. Sorry. Hare Krishna. I'm very much aware that I call you out of this exercise too early. But this is done with an intention. I really feel as the Govardhan retreat progresses day by day, you should discuss questions like that which are in relationship to the classes which you hear and which then will help you to enter more deep into the experience. Also, when you learn to discuss Krishna conscious subjects with your fellow retreatees, a very good sense of community builds from which you can get tremendous strengths in your spiritual life. So what we just did, this exercise, falls under the category of manaha. You have heard something, now you are dealing with what you have heard, you're discussing it, you're hearing something, which means you are reflecting what you hear, and then you will, for many, many years to come, when you have reflected the subject, remember it, and it will serve you for a long time in your life. You will maybe forget everything which from the Govardhan retreat, and in 1 year, and when someone asks you, how was it, you will say, nice, like we always say, no? But if you reflect about what is going on, you will have a lot to say and a lot to remember and a lot to feed from. I would like to... I became aware that I still have 15 minutes, And I want to do, at the end of this, actually 70 minutes even. My God, I overthought. Don't have this. I want to talk about one subject from the Bhagavatam and then again do a meditation with you to conclude this presentation. Because there's a reason which Prabhupada gives for these meditations, which I will like to give you when we do this. I would like to say that really everyone in all parts of the universe is anxious to have the nectar from Krishna's lips. Because whatever Krishna touches with his lips, whether it be food, drink, beetle, or his words, becomes just like nectar and has this tremendous, tremendous possibility to invoke bhakti in someone. I had to discuss this with my assistants because at the moment I think it's over, but a little while ago I had typhus, and typhus is transmitted if you eat the food of a typhus patient. So my assistants are, because I get good prasadam, they are accustomed to eat the prasadam afterwards. And we had to say, no, you will get the typhus bacillus if you do that. And I had to learn to just eat what I really need and not leave remnants. So when Krishna leaves remnants and you get these remnants, you will get Krishna prema. You will just get it. So therefore, everyone all over the universe who is knowledgeable about spiritual life wants to have the nectar from Krishna's lips. And there is this verse in the Bhagavatam where the gopis sit together and complain about the flute, because they say, we should have this nectar of Krishna's lips, but this unqualified stick of bamboo, the small Venu, is just stealing the nectar of Krishna's lips, you know, it's the sound, and then to announce boldly his audacity, he sings so loud to tell us, I got it all and you got nothing. This is too much, and they complain about this. So my dear devotees, what is the nectar from Krishna's lips which you can get? For the gopis, it's the klim. Those who are advanced know what that means. Or the Venu Nada, the flute sound. For Krishna's cowherd boys, the nectar of Krishna's lips is his chewed betel nuts. And then they jump after it and chew it. For us in this world, it's Krishna's Mahaprasad and Krishna Katha. When there are narrations about Lord Krishna, these narrations are potent because they are touched, they touch Krishna. And all this is extremely rare. Even the devatas obtain it. So, my dear devotees, if you learn to hear about Krishna, the Krishna Katha, you will feel three effects which this nectar leaves in you. One is you want to drink it again and again, more about Krishna, more about Krishna, not enough about Krishna, I want more. Then your suffering gets destroyed, and finally all kinds of mundane attachments disappear. So there is this pastime where Krishna plays his flute, and it said it's a trembling tune. I don't know if we have a flute with a trembling tune. You know what the it's not steady, it trembles. We try to get you the idea, but we can only give you the idea. Why is the song of Krishna's flute trembling? It is intoxicated from the nectar of Krishna's lips. It can't be steady. So when the gopis hear this, they become furious that this nectar is our birthright. It's not the birthright of Mr. Flute. He's a male. Krishna is a male. This is not a good combination. You know. So at that time, Krishna must have played on his Venu. Therefore, this verse appears in the Venu Gita. The Venu is a 6-inch-long flute, which is male. Krishna has 2 other flutes, Vamsi and Murali. They are female, but Venu is considered male because it's made from bamboo. The gopis feel we should get this nectar because we were first. We knew about Krishna before the flute knew about him, because they started the relationship when Krishna was 3 years old, and the gopis at that time were only 2 years old. This was when Mother Yashoda wanted to bind Krishna after he had stolen the jokut and the butter, and she went to all the households of the Brajavasis and asked, "My boy is impossible, I need to chastise him, but somehow I have used up all my ropes. Do you have another rope, please?" And in this way, the gopis, the small gopis, heard, "Wow, Krishna! About Krishna, he cannot be bound by so many ropes. Wonderful." The relationship to Krishna developed further when they saw Krishna from the distance dancing at Kaliya's hood. At that time, Krishna was 7 years old, and they were 6 years old. And the relationship fully blossomed in the Rasa Lila, when Krishna was 8 years old and the gopis 7 years. So they feel we have a history of a relationship which started before the flute. And now the flute is always hanging around with Krishna when he's in the forest and so on. This is unfair. Krishna's flute has 5 effects depending on how he holds his flute. This you need to know. When he holds the flute to the left, then mostly the gopis and the wives of the devas are aroused with love. When Krishna takes his flute to the right, both men and women are actually equally aroused. When Krishna takes his flute and moves it upwards, all the gods are just tumbling, and Shiva gets mixed up with his meditation, and Sankarshan shakes, and the planets move. And when he points with his flute downwards, his love goes to all the birds and the beasts, and awakens love in them. This is the nectar of Krishna's flute, of Krishna's lips. So the gopis asked, "What have you done, you flute, which helps you to deserve this nectar?" And according to one poem, the flute answers. And I find this answer very, very relevant. It's, you know, when we see a highly accomplished Vaishnava, we ask, "Lila Purushottam, you are the head of the Gurukul in Vrindavan. Previously you were only a professor somewhere. What sadhana did you do so that you can now perform service in in Vrindavan, and we want to learn from him. I did this, I chanted Radha Kripa Kataksha Stava for the month of Karti. When we see someone is brilliant with bhakti, we ask, pss, 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 what's your secret, man? what did you do? Or when we meet with older god brothers, we say, what do you do? I remember when I saw Burijan for the first time, I said, you look so effulgent. What's your secret? And he told me two things. One physical secret and one spiritual secret. I will not tell you. It's a little embarrassing maybe. Or it's not meant for open discussion. You know, when you see an extraordinary accomplished Vaishnav, ask him, what's your secret, please? What do you do? What works? So the flute hears how the gopis say, what did you do? And he says, hey gopis, I will tell you what is wrong in what I do. Please think, if I am allowed to drink the nectar from Krishna's lips, I must have done something to qualify me. Hey gopis, why don't you go to Syama Sunda? He will tell you what I did, how much distress I had to face, how many austerities, so that I finally could receive his love. You please ask Syama Sunda himself. Gopis, from birth I'm a vairagi. I come from a bamboo stick. You must know bamboos always stand alone. So I left my village, my parents. I left even my Brahminical thread, everything. And I stood alone. Many were the austerities which I did, standing on one foot. I was facing hot seasons, cold seasons, rains. Finally, I had to give up all my roots. My branches were cut off, my leaves, everything. Gopis, can you imagine to lose your hands and legs for the service of Krishna? And then I was dried up by the hot sun. Someone came to make holes into me. I was poked by a hot iron. I did not protest. I knew I was prepared for Krishna. My body remained still. I didn't turn or twist when the holes were made. So you shouldn't blame me. First you should show your eagerness, and then you get the right of his Adamrit. If you speak ill of me, you will not be able to get me out of this place. I am here at Krishna's lips because this has become my right. What this answer of the flute spells out for us is a very deep lesson, a very simple lesson, a very nice lesson. See, it ties in what Burijan Prabhu has told us. Once all of us were like that bamboo, we had taken shelter at the earth, we were dhara ashrita, taken shelter in this material earthly bound atmosphere where we were born. Now it's time to wake up. It's time to give ourselves to Krishna, take shelter of Krishna's lotus-like hands, to surrender to Krishna's plan, not our own, to take shelter in Lord Krishna's arrangements, not our own, to at least have trust, to give ourselves in the and practice Hasta Kamal Ashraya. Hasta means hands, Kamal means lotus, and Ashraya means shelter, to take shelter in Krishna's divine arrangements. Then you will also enjoy the nectar from Krishna. At least practice this when you are here during the Govardhan retreat, to take full shelter in Krishna, which means to take shelter in Shravanam and Kirtanam, hearing about Krishna. Just imagine this, just see this beautiful example, the earth bound, deeply rooted, immovable bamboos leaves the shelter of the earth and takes the shelter of Krishna's hands and then becomes entitled to taste the nectar from Krishna. Hare Krishna. At the end, please turn again to Giriraj. We will make a short meditational exercise. No, this we will do tomorrow, because it will. You can't do it short. We will just end the program by again turning to Giriraj and singing to Giriraj.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Krishna Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Rama, Hare, Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Shira Prabhupada. Jaya Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Pura Prema Nandi, Hari Hari Bo.
Hare Krishna, thank you all very, very much. I request you to obtain further copies. We will distribute them of a summary of Mana Shiksha, which has the verses and the connection between the verses. Please take them, because I will request you to read the verses and reflect about them, particularly text 8. Maybe if you have little time, text 8 suffices, is enough, because it will help you, because tomorrow we will enter even deeper subjects, and it's good if you have a good foundation. Also, what we have for you is an overview over Mana Shiksha, which is very handy. It's in one page, which you can read at your leisure time. It's not very compact reading, but I again and again request you, you will get, it's in your benefit, please believe me. You need to reflect a little bit about these subjects. You need to start discussing and moving them in your heart so that it will not be an avalanche of information, but it will be something which you digest and make your own. Huh? Good.